Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Artie Kornfeld.
Hello, everybody. You know, oh boy, got the spirit tonight. Why not? I got my friend Anthony Gomes, great blues musician, great musician, great writer, really great guy. You know, if you're around last week, you were involved in what was called studio and equipment breakdown. So, you know, we never got to play Anthony's new album, you know, and that's what I wanted you to hear. And this is the first time I ever had an act come back because of demand, and people like what they heard. And by the way, Anthony's on right now. Anthony, say hello.
Hey, how's it going,
Anthony Gomes? This is the Woodstock Nation. All five generations of us still junkies for music, man. Still keeping ourselves going because we love music. You know, and I know you do because, you know, I was looking at all your videos, by the way, and the one I put up was really good. I forgot which one it was, but I really loved that video.
Oh, man.
It was really great. I like the duet, but I like the one where you were just playing and singing. That was great. And I put that on Facebook today, you know. And why? Because I wanted to turn people on to a good day, and it was early in the day, and I want them to be elevated, and I thought hearing you would elevate them, because when I hear you, it elevates me. So everybody, the spirit of the Woodstock Nation, how do we lay? We lay fine. We lay fine. We have to stand for what we stand for, which is the freedom, the right to express ourselves, the right for equality, the right for separation of church and state, what we all stand for, and it's all based on one thing. It's based on music. And Anthony's an example. Anthony, you were in the womb when you wrote your first song. Is that true?
Well, they said Adam and Eve wrote the first song, and we've just been ripping them off. So,
well, you know that they were Irish. You know, I know they were Irish. The first thing that Eve said to Adam is she said, O'Toole, and he looked at her and he said, O'Hare. Anyway, terrible joke. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to knock out Woodstock or any of my songs by being a comic. although doing this show is like doing stand-up every week.
Well, you know, I just want to say thank you for having me back this week, Artie. And last week was crazy, but I don't think I've ever had as much fun on an interview as I did last week.
Oh yeah, and we definitely bonded, definitely, because we seen fire and rain, and we got through it. And you know what? We were laughing. And everything was falling apart around us, and we were laughing, you know. And we remember we were searching everywhere we could to find anything we wanted to play, you know. And we got through the night, and you know what? People liked the show. A lot of people I saw on Facebook had no idea that anything had gone wrong at all. So, you know, actually, it didn't go wrong at all. It went right because you're back here tonight, and finally, the world gets to hear Anthony Gomes' new album. You know, by the way, this album can be got, and this is not a sales pitch. I'm just trying to turn you onto something that if you have equipment at home, that it's a better sound than your computer and you want to have it at home, you got to go to get Anthony Gomes' album at
anthonygomes.com, or you can get it at iTunes or amazon.com. So we're just a click away.
It's just a shot away. Yeah, no, you're just a click away, and you know, the fact that there's been so many bands, you know, in 3 years, and you know, the fact that you know that Z-Man had told me like 2 or 3 weeks ago that we had gone over 16 million hits in 3 years so far, and it's not me, and it's the fact that the whole idea was when I stopped playing the Woodstock stars, and you know, which would always be a lot of people listening, and said, you know what? The new bands deserve to be heard, because we all know radio is payoff in the United States. You know, I shouldn't be saying this, but I am saying it. You know, maybe I could get around it because I've been around a long time. I know a lot of program directors, but God, there had to be a place for a band like yourself that was really good to be heard by more than 10 people. So when you come on here, it could be 50,000 and it could be 300,000, you know, and you get to be heard. You know, and that's how the flower grows into a tree, and then it just flourishes. And when did you write Love, Sweet Love? Because this is the beginning of the Anthony Gomes
extravaganza here.
Extravaganza.
The Network, yeah. You know, it was a work in progress. It was a title that I had for several years, as you know yourself, being a songwriter. Sometimes you have a title, and interestingly enough, I was looking at Rolling Stone's top words for songs, and I think the number one word in the most hit songs is love, and the word sweet is like the number three used word. So it's a pretty popular title with the term love, sweet love in it.
Right.
But so I always liked that idea, and about a year and a half ago, I was writing with a mutual friend of ours, Jim Peterick.
And, oh, God, yeah. What do you mean, friend? I managed him.
Yeah. And, man, we dug what we were working on, and then we went into the studio, and, I wanted to... the whole concept was to take the sort of spirit of Eric Clapton and his approach, but add a little Hendrix or Stevie Ray Vaughan fire to it, and sort of marry those two influences, both of which are super huge influences on me.
Well, you know what came out? Great. It came out as all those things which are part of you, but it came out with a very distinct sound, which is Anthony Gomes. Yeah. And that's what's so good about it. You know, actually, I'm playing all the lead guitar, right?
That's right, right. I'm just there for the...
And I'm actually singing the leads too, right? But I needed a front name, so I figured Anthony Gomes was pretty, a pretty popular name in Croatia.
Yeah, we're
oh, love, sweet love, very yeah. good. Love is popular, but if you live in a very weird YMCA in West Hollywood or in Greenwich Village, maybe sweet was the word. So we never know. So why don't we get into it, and why don't we just rock and hear some really great blues, and really enjoy, which I will be listening to, Anthony Gomes, Love, Sweet Love.
Rain.
of just music. Forget the Woodstock Nation part, because there was a time 2.5 years ago I was talking to Z-Man, and then when I decided to stop just having big names on and having just as big names on, but that hadn't been heard yet. And, you know, this is the first time that I've had anybody on, you know, 2 weeks in a row, because even the stuff that we were finding last week and the stuff I had heard from you before, thanks to Pat Scully, actually, just pulled me into you. So, record companies pay me a lot of money to pick their acts, so it's like I still have the ear, obviously, from what people just heard. Great vocal and great playing on that, man.
Oh, thanks, Artie. I appreciate that, bro.
Was there any particular Love, Sweet Love? Was there anybody involved with you at that point that was, when you wrote that song, was there an actual significant other in your life, or were you on your own?
Well, at that particular point, I was on my own, but I channeled the emotion of lost love into the song. Maybe that's why the vocal is so is compelling or urgent sounding, you know. But a lot of that song, there's a line that I'm proud about. The lonely life I've been living is driving me insane. Standing at Love Station, but always missing the train. And I was at the station, and there were no trains coming. So, I think I was in a great place to interpret that lyric at that particular time.
Yeah, it's very crazy, because I wrote a song with Artie Kaplan, a friend of mine. We wrote a song that was like, it's like in Europe, it's like one of the number one songs of all time, called Bensonhurst Blues. It's not a rock song. And we wrote a song called Don't Be at the Airport When Your Ship Comes In, which is almost what you were just saying.
Right.
You know, like, if you're waiting for your ship to come in, be at the docks. Don't be at the airport, or you're going to miss your ship.
Right, exactly.
You know, and I guess what you do is what I do is I wake up and I show up for every day. And I'm going to give every day everything I have to give, because I get so much out of it by giving. You know, what you do is, you know, God, I wish I could do what you do now still, you know. But the fact that I could, be, you know, have you on and be close to you, you know, I'm sort of owning your music with you now, because I'm into it. So it's like, you know, it's part of me. And, yeah, I can't wait to get a CD myself. Not that you have to send it. I'll find it, you know. Yeah, I just spent my time here getting free CDs and selling them, at artiecornfeld-woodstock.com.
Right, free CD/forward, yeah, I got you.
Yeah, really. Where were you at to write, were you into doing voodoo when you wrote Voodoo Moon? Were you actually practicing voodoo?
You're trying to get a hit. We're trying all sorts of denominations trying to get this hit record. No, seriously. To me, voodoo is sort of it's synonymous with when you go down to Mississippi, you can just feel the music everywhere.
Oh yeah,
and it gets in your bones. And the whole idea is, if you listen real carefully at night and at midnight, there's music in the air everywhere, and all the blues men and women, you know, come and gone, you know, all that energy or vibrations or music and sound, you know, it's still in the soil and in the trees and everywhere. And the whole idea is the music is still very much alive, and Voodoo Moon was just sort of a colorful way of trying to express that. There's something sort of peacefully haunting about Mississippi and at night and with it, the whole music environment and the crossroads and all that good stuff. So all that idea went into that particular song.
So why don't we hear something?
Turn it up.
Let's hear. Down in Mississippi, by Highway 49, lived an old blues man from another time. And when he played his guitar, you could hear a thousand souls cry underneath the stars of the Delta sky. The ghost of Clarksdale Z-Man.
Yes, you are.
I'm feeling it.
I feel like we're on the air. Are we on the air?
You certainly are on the air.
We are on the air. I've been on air ever since I was born. I've been on air. I try to kick it, but you know what? I almost didn't make it.
Yeah.
It's hard to kick, and you really can't go into an air rehab. They don't have rehabs for people that want to stop breathing.
Maybe in California.
No, so they came with voodoo. It's funny, Anthony and I were talking about the blues, and oddly enough, I just mentioned that, you know, I was very proud. It may never come out, but the three songs that I wrote that B.B. King has in the can somewhere, I was so proud that he did those songs, more than the hit records. I was just so proud, you know, to be able to hear that. It was just what a wonderful feeling, and everybody, I think, you got to have the blues, because then you don't know what magenta is, and you don't know what purple is, and you don't know what orange is, and the blues is such a, you know, it's not just a word. I mean, the blues represents so much, you know, even though I'm known as more a pop writer, but when I was writing, everybody was writing pop. It was the only way to make a living, because there were no bands, really, in those days. Radio hadn't switched. It was still AM. It hadn't switched FM yet. So, you know, watching the FM and then all of a sudden hearing a canned heat, you know, and hearing, and Butterfield was a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
So it was hard not to get into blues if you're a friend of Paul's. And actually, I was with Paul the day before he left this earth. He was at my house that day hanging out. So what a great player he was.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What a gift he had.
Yeah, that's why I did help Gabe and Sally, you know, put together that the Butterfield Blues project, you know, and what's the name of that place, the Owl and something that they have. They have a blues club.
Right.
And so we were just talking about how the blues, oddly enough to me, Dead Man's Curve, very pop, this and that, you know, one of the top 10 pop records according to the Grammys, but you know what? That was an expression of the blues to me because, you know, it's about anybody who has to make a decision in life, and we have to make them every day. So I guess when I was writing that, I must have had the blues somewhere in my mind. Actually, I did because Brian Wilson and I just had a motorcycle accident and were bleeding like crazy. So that's what came out of that.
Well, as far as the blues goes, Artie, the thing that there's so many things I love about blues. One is the idea of legacy. You know, you talk about B.B. King and, you know, here's an artist who's in their 80s and Buddy Guy who's in their 70s and, you know, and then you have up-and-coming artists as well in the blues. And there's a passing of the torch. It's not what's hot this second. But with the blues, it's more like a family and a legacy. And there's a real human element to that music and to the genre. That's one of the things I really love about it. And also, too, what you're talking about, this idea with music, the blues is really, you know, people say it's a cliche, everybody has the blues, but everybody does have the blues, and it's such a universal thing, and music in general is such a universal thing, and I think that's, you know, people say music is what broke down a lot of racial barriers in the 60s and brought people together, because at the end of the day, it is a universal language, and it can change the world, and it reminds us that we're really all part of a greater force. And playing music and playing blues in particular, you know, when you're out there and you're feeling it and you're in that moment, you know, for me, I feel closer to a higher power or a source, or, you know, when you're in that zone and you know there's something bigger than yourself, and that there's just not a better feeling than that.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, I meditated for a lot of years. Actually, John Lennon got me into, when they came back from India, you know, talked me into getting a mantra, and I meditated all those years. And I sometimes meditating, I go to that place. And it's funny, the blues is a wonderful place to be in. You know, it really is. It's the bottom, it's sort of like the bottom line. And you know, and music is music, and it's just a name. I'll tell you where I got introduced. This will blow you away. I was 13 years old, and my father, I was living in North Carolina, and my dad, we had to be in the Charlotte, North Carolina bus station, and there was a heavyset Afro-American, or actually, it was called the black person in those days, you know, in my family, not my neighbors, because they had worse names, because it was the South in the 50s, but my dad brought this guy home to sober him up, and I woke up the next morning, and I go into the kitchen, and there's Fats Domino sitting there.
Oh, wow.
And I was in a state of shock, because I had been into Fats' stuff, you know, because I had heard it on what you'd call R&B, you know. But then it was called the Black Station, and the Black Station played a lot of Fats, you know, and then hanging out with Fats, and, you know, he got sober before he left, it sort of showed me a whole other thing, you know, from where I was at. And you know, and then the fact that I got to be friends with Chuck Berry when I was at Mercury, he was in my department. So after meeting Fats, I actually got a job at the Charlotte Coliseum selling soft drinks so I could see all the acts for free because I couldn't afford to go see them.
Oh, you know? Cool.
So I sold soft drinks, and boy, I saw some great stuff. Now, talk about great stuff. One last time. Is this actually One Last Time for you? Was that a moment that you wrote the song about, or was it just something that came to you?
Well, that's what happens after Love, Sweet Love.
Right.
You know, you get hooked on somebody, and then you just can't let them go, man. And then you're like, hey, just one last time. And
just, Just remember, you won't come back from Dead Man's Curve, man.
There you go. There's no one last time from there.
No, not really, you know, because I could say follow me on the Pied Piper, but I don't have no idea where I'm going. So if you want to follow me, come on, you know. Well, at least they followed Michael and myself in August 1969, and, you know, I sort of hate the reference. That's why I love having, you know, the conversations with really good musicians that I have in between the songs, because I'm talking to family, because we are a family, because you know what it's like to be in the studio when you really nail something, and it's so organic, and it's so right, and it's one of the best highs you could ever have in your life.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Well said, Artie. Well said, my brother.
Yeah, and it could take 100 hours or it could happen in 20 minutes. But when it does happen, and the fact is, if it does happen, it gets heard. Everybody who hears it, you're actually turning them on, and you're affecting their life. And you do it so well with your music. So one last time, did you have anything in mind except that it's Fall in Love, Sweet Love?
Well, in the sequence of the album, it actually comes before. But, you know, the concept behind that is on this CD, I wanted just a straight-ahead blues song, a 12-bar progression, no fancy arrangements, and just get in there and tell a story and no fancy effects on the guitars or voices or anything like that, and just go in and play from the heart and the soul and put it all out there and, you know, put all the emotions forth and just, you know, go for broke. And out of all the solos on the record, this is one of my favorite, and out of all the performances, because it's just so brutally honest. It is just brutally emotional, and there's something very cathartic about that. So it's one of the few things I'm actually proud of in my catalog and love.
Yeah, actually, this was actually the way we're playing it is the way, you know, Jed Taylor and myself actually resequenced the album, because, you know, without knowing the stories behind it, this is the way I would have sequenced the album. By the way, thanks for letting me play the lead guitar on
yeah, you did a great job.
One last time. I mean, how many people can play in the key of L like I do?
You are amazing. You play in the key of me. Thanks for letting me play the cowbell on it. I appreciate it.
No, on this show, honestly, it really is the key of we, because everybody out there is playing every instrument that you're playing and every note you're singing and every word I'm saying, because we are the sum total of us, and that's why this show is the spirit of the Woodstock Nation, you know. It finally locked. I was talking to my partner in Woodstock and one of my dearest friends in life, Michael Lang, and I got asked over all these years, what's your favorite thing in the Woodstock movie? And I never quite had the answer, because I've only seen it three times. You'd think I'd watch it a lot and stuff, but no, I didn't. And I saw the kid taking a bite of the sandwich and passing it, and I said, God Almighty, that's what Woodstock was really all about. Everybody sharing what they had, and then all of a sudden, with almost 600,000 people, it became one. And everybody cared about their next door neighbor, which in that situation could have been 1 foot away from you.
Right.
You know, you didn't know if you were at a concert or in a slum in India. You know.
Thank you.
to tell you the truth, everybody, it's great stuff. And I'd like to thank personally, because I don't know, you don't know this, but we actually know where every hit in the world's coming from, because Z-Man has the equipment to find out. And just want to thank our friends in Canada. You want to expound on that a little, Anthony?
We were told that we have an all-time Canadian high of listenership, where over 22% of folks from Canada are listening, including King Cardin, Brantford, Burlington, Whitby, Mississauga, and a lot of those towns are it's the highest rating of King Cardin ever on the Artist First Network. So thanks to all the millions of people in King Cardin who are listening tonight. But I think that's really cool that we have such a big Canadian listenership on this show, and it just goes to show that that your show already is not only is it worldwide, but you got the love in Canada, so that's great.
You know what? That's why people, and I've turned down the offers and stuff, and that's why I do the show, and it has to be free, because I couldn't do the show for bread, because I'm one of the audience. You know what? Everybody out there, is to me, they're the superstars to us. I mean, if it wasn't for the people listening right now, we wouldn't even exist.
Absolutely. Everybody's a superstar, Artie.
Yeah.
Especially you, my brother, especially you.
Which brings me back, I'm going to throw something in, which I do play, because it was written, it's in my book, it was written when I was dosed for the first time ever at Woodstock, and I saw what happened at Woodstock 3, which I had nothing to do with, by the way, 2 and 3. But Bert Sommer, to try to help me and my late wife come down from being dosed, came over and sang this song. And just the sandwich story, which you've heard the song a lot, but the sandwich story is what we're all about. And so we'll jump in on Anthony, and then we'll go back to the song of Anthony's called Back to the Star, because we'll be back to the star with Anthony again. But let's just groove to we're all playing in the same band, and let's all feel it out there, because that is our spirit.
We're all playing in the same band. There's enough guitars for you and me. Stand beside your brother and take his hand. Seems the times are changing, finally. Playing in the same band. Sing the song together and you'll see. Let them know forever just where you stand. People must be learning finally.
Oh, and we're all playing in the
Okay. Welcome, everybody. Welcome back to the Spirit. I don't think any of you who's listening tonight ever lost the Spirit, or you wouldn't be listening. You know, thank you so much, because you are a reason to believe, you know, and we are a reason to believe. And don't listen to what these bad meanings are saying with all the money, because you know what? We're the guts, and we're the blood that makes it all work, you know. And, you know, they could collect all the bread they want and try to put everybody into the Supreme Courts and take over everything. But you know what? They can't win. They can't take away our spirit, you know. And which leads me to the next song that you wrote, which comes off the sandwich story and just playing Bert because it fit the sandwich. But I happen to like this song a lot when I was listening to it. Back to the Start. Is there any particular, you know, story that goes with this song? Or?
Well, the song was, you know, getting back to who you are as a person musically. For me, it's the blues and, you know, just the core values of who you are as a person. And accepting that and just getting back to who you are, you know, accepting all your flaws and all the positive things of your personality and just being able to get down and dirty. So really that's the idea of the song, and just never forgetting to follow your heart. You know, we all always have that little voice that tells us what to do, and sometimes we, you know, we want to fight it for whatever reason. But, you know, we know what the answers are, even when we ask the questions. So,
right, and then we find that there really was no question anyway, and then we really are back to the start because it's pure.
Exactly.
You know, and so why don't we just go back to the start?
Let's do it, man.
Let's do it.
When you're on your own, I'm gonna hop this cannonball all the way home. I'm gonna get back, back to where I started. I gotta get back, back to where I started. I'm gonna follow my heart and get back to the start.
So when we talk about on Facebook, and, you know, lots of times I always close, even if it's a heavy post, I'll always close with rock on. And I think what you just heard is rock on. You know, that's a good answer to a lot of things, because no matter what's going on, when we rock on, we are invincible. You know, which reminds me, Anthony, when we were kids together, remember we used to go to school and we always went to that room in school, that room 414?
Oh, we always got in a lot of trouble in that room.
Yeah, what was that? That was when we were both in the third grade, right?
Right. That was a detention room. They'd say, go to room 414.
Yeah, right.
And I'd be like, man, those are not my dirty magazines. Those are Artie's.
Yeah, no. They were really Anthony's. As a matter of fact, Anthony and I actually resorted to throwing up to get out of school.
Right. Right.
And it was always on the lunch line.
Well, the stuff they were serving in the cafeteria, it wasn't hard. It wasn't hard, Artie.
No, it wasn't. Not really. As a matter of fact, it was. I think prison food might be better, you know. So let's go back and wander back through our many multiple lives, and let's just journey back. Everybody has a room 414. You know, so let's all go to our particular room 414, and as Anthony goes there. If I had a dream, it would be that I was up there on stage with you playing right now and we were performing this.
You did a great job in the studio, Artie. That was
yeah, it was just my spirit there, right? You know, and you can get at anthonygomes.com, right?
Yes.
That's where to get the album, and anywhere else in particular?
It's on iTunes. It's on Amazon.com. But, yeah, Anthony Gomes, G-O-M-E-S. com, shameless plug. You know, we'd like to invite, and also I'd like to let your listeners know, if they like what they hear, they can download a free MP3. You know, that's one of the best four-letter words that start with F.
Yeah, look, I mean, I hate being known for Woodstock, because I'd rather be known for my writing and my producing and the other stuff I've done, but, you know, the fact is, You know, I'm known for that, but that's not really what I'm all about. But it is what I'm all about, and it's what we're all about, and that's what the spirit's about, and that's why you're here tonight, to keep the spirit going. And you certainly do it with your music, which takes us all the way from nowhere, all the way up to zero.
Hell yeah.
We'll go out, and I'll say, Anthony, thank you so much for a great rocking night, and, you know, I'm glad I'm going to have this here to put it on when I want to rock. Because this is a good one to put on, you know. So everybody out there, that's my opinion. I hope you made your own opinion, but certainly you heard some great music tonight. So why don't we go out, Anthony, with, I don't know what you were thinking about when you wrote this, and you know what, let everybody come up with their own ideas, but everybody keep the spirit going, hold the light. You know, thank you so much. Up to zero. Thank you, Anthony.